Master's in Public Health from the University of Illinois at Chicago School of Public Health. She holds a Bachelor's of Arts degree with honors in Sociology from Trinity College in Hartford, Connecticut. Her work experience includes research, planning, and grant development at the Illinois Public Health Institute as a part of a fellowship through the UIC School of Public Health. During this period, she also worked with a team to create assessment and evaluation strategies for statewide public health programs. During a fellowship with the Chicago Partnership for Health Promotion, she developed evaluation assessment tools for curriculum and grassroots outreach activities in support of nutrition and health promotion. Prior to relocating to Chicago, Melissa worked with the Center for Science and the Public Interest in Washington, D.C. on federal nutrition policy standards to prevent childhood obesity. Currently, Melissa is the project coordinator for Screen Out Campaign, a 3-year campaign which works to organize an adult network of advocates who promote standards which would get smoking out of youth-rated films. This project runs through the AMA Alliance, the largest volunteer arm of the American Medical Association, and funded through the American Legacy Foundation. Her presentation is titled Screen Out, a national campaign to get smoking out of youth-related films.
Sorry, I didn't stick to the two-sentence thing. Hi, thanks for sticking around. I have the joy of being the last speaker at the last session, so thank you all for coming. I realize how hard it is when you need to get on an airplane. But I think this actually fits in well, the way that they structured this, because after you were talking about some of the advertising for tobacco, well, this is sort of one of the new, not new, but it is a creative way that tobacco is being promoted to youth. And I have my esteemed colleague, Dr. Glantz, here, who really is the true, you know, captain of this whole ship. So I'm going to speak more about the grassroots organizing aspect of this campaign today and a little bit about advocacy. I don't have any relationships to disclose. So today I'm just going to briefly go over the evidence base and support for smoke-free movies. I'm going to evaluate, share with you some of the policy options, and then discuss a little bit about the successes and challenges of implementing a national grassroots campaign around this issue, specifically in an adult population. So what is Screen Out? Screen Out is a campaign that was developed by the University of California, San Francisco, and this came to the AMA Alliance about a year and a half ago as a 3-year program for us to organize what we called an adult or parent-to-parent grassroots national network, which would be the adult voice about getting pressuring Hollywood to make all feature movies rated G, PG, and PG-13 to be absolutely smoke-free. To give you a little background on what the AMA Alliance is we are we sort of represent the family of medicine. We're connected with the American Medical Association, and we are a group of 26,000 members nationwide who really, well, 100% volunteer-based, and really work on a lot of public health issues in local communities around the country. Traditionally, they've done a lot of health education. This is one of the first projects that they've ever done advocacy, so I'll talk a little bit about that challenge towards the end. And really, you know, the other thing I like to talk about in this is that the overall goal is to encourage voluntary change in the film industry. This isn't necessarily a government, you know, bill that we need to pass. We're asking the Motion Picture Association of America to make a voluntary change. So why make movies smoke-free? Well, I could do a, you know, hour-long presentation on all the data and all the evidence that talks about why movies should be smoke-free. I'll go over a little bit here. I'm sure, you know, if we have more questions about the evidence, Stan is the best to answer all of it. But really, the fact stands that movies have a long history of working with tobacco companies. Tobacco industry documents show that tobacco companies have invested millions of dollars to get smoking in their brands on screen from the mid-1970s to at least what's estimated as like the 1990s. Paid product placement, as you all know, was barred by the MSA in 1998. But what we've seen in films, as you can see back here with the lovely Marlboro, is that brand identification does still appear in films. What's estimated is that U.S. movies have delivered more than 50 billion unbranded tobacco impressions to theater audiences since 1999, and that figure doesn't even really include all the DVD viewing that goes on, so that's just a figure from, you know, audiences seeing it on screen in theaters. Smoking in PG-13 movies increased 50% in the first 2 years, 1999 to 2000, after Big Tobacco signed agreements with the state attorneys general promising to end product placement in movies. And I think that's really key because they're targeting that PG-13 group. They're targeting the most vulnerable population, which is the young teens, and we all know that when young teens pick up smoking at that age range, they're more likely to become lifetime smokers. So just to give you some recent data, of the movies that achieved top 10 box office ranking for at least a week, released from May 2007 to May 2008, 61% featured tobacco, including 38% of G and PG movies and 58% of PG-13 movies. So what does this all mean? Well, obviously, it means something because it's estimated that between one-third and one-half of all new teen smoking initiation is due to seeing smoking in movies. And just a couple months ago, National Cancer Institute came out with their tobacco monograph, which actually stated that there is a causal relationship between smoking in movies and kids starting to smoke. So that was kind of the nit for all of us working on this issue. We were like, yes, thank you for finally taking all of this evidence and research that has been just piling up over the years and saying, yeah, there's a causal relationship that exists. So at that point, you know, I like to say, how can you ignore us anymore? Now that, you know, you're causing this, you have to do something about it. The last factor in all of this is the awareness factor, because I talk to people all over the country, and the first thing they say to me is, well, no one even notices it. And, I mean, my first response is, look for it and you'll notice it. But secondly, studies have shown that kids actually are aware of seeing smoking on screen, and they're also aware of the certain characteristics that are associated with smoking on screen. So, you know, if obviously Scarlett Johansson looks quite lovely in this photo here with her, you know, sexy pose. But, you know, if the character is seen smoking as a stress release or anything else in that scene, kids actually are aware of the relationship of the characteristics that go along with smoking. So, like I said, I could go on and on and on, but I want to get to sort of the bigger picture issue here, which is also that movies are a U.S. export, and I think this is the thing I talk to all the time about our grassroots advocates about, is that, you know, every movie that's made as far as top box office films go is that it's shipped around the world. Sorry. So this statistic is that for every person buying a ticket to the average Hollywood movie in a U.S. theater, at least two people watch that movie in other parts of the world. And so they have this wonderful ad campaign called The Whole World Is Watching, which, you know, we all know that as tobacco anti-tobacco programs become more and more effective in the United States, tobacco companies are moving to a lot of developing countries and trying to push their products in those areas, and this is a great way for them to do it. So there are 13 other countries who are also working on this issue right now. I'm not going to go into the international efforts that much, but there's been some amazing work being done in England, in Indonesia, Nigeria, I mean, all over the place, a lot of youth involvement, which has been absolutely wonderful, and we're hoping that that will bring the pressure back towards the U.S. for the Motion Picture Association to do something. So how do we deal with this? What are the policy solutions that will affect this situation? Number one, the simple, most effective way is to just rate new movies with smoking R. They've done it for language, they've done it for sexual content, they've done it for violence, and as Stan likes to say, the F word never killed anybody. So, you know, the biggest thing is that this single policy solution of the R rating would by far have the greatest effect on kids not seeing smoking in films. I think that's the strongest thing. It's what we want to push the most. But there are also three other policy solutions that I think are really effective. The second is to certify no payoffs. And what this is saying is that we want every single studio to certify that no one involved in the motion picture benefits in any way from having tobacco in the film. And I think it's really important that you you look at the words of that sentence, no one involved. We're not just talking about the big director. We're talking about, you know, the guy who services the craft service table. We're talking about every single person involved in that film does not benefit in any way. And to me, that's the giveaway. Why can't they do that? Well, because somebody's benefiting from it. So the third is to require strong anti-smoking ads. I'm going to talk a little bit about the success of this. I'm sure many of you have seen some of the press that's been about anti-smoking PSAs and some of the deals that have been brokered around this. The key to this is that we want them to show anti-smoking ads that are effective. We don't want them showing Philip Morris's anti-smoking ads. We know they're not effective. So, you know, we really push the truth ads. We know that it's effective with youth audiences. LA County Department of Public Health put out some great ads that are really effective. And then finally, stop identifying tobacco brands. Everyone in this room knows there's no creative reason whatsoever to show a tobacco brand other than to sell a specific tobacco product. So we just want that out. It shouldn't even be in there. I mean, you know, there's just no creative explanation that would ever make up for that. So how do we do this? What I do is I travel around the country and I get adults really riled up about this. And the background on this is that this movement was very heavily involved with youth. And New York State had an amazing youth effort. And what happened was the Hollywood studios came back and they said, well, where are the parents? And that's when it kind of came to the AMA Alliances. This needed to be a joint effort between adults and youth vocalizing their sort of anger about this. So what we do is we collect petition signatures that ask the Motion Picture Association and the six major studios, which I'll talk about in the next slide, to automatically rate movies R that show smoking. We write letters to media companies, and we also go around and I ask all my local groups to collect organizational endorsements, which basically means they go to their local communities, they talk to health organizations, they talk to health departments, they talk to businesses, all kinds of different things, and ask them to endorse the four solutions to getting smoking out of youth-rated films. And then finally, I really help engage them in media outreach. So letters to the editor, involving their local community newspapers, involving, I mean, we do everything, church bulletins. I don't discriminate as far as who is involved in the media. Getting them into the blogging area is a little challenging, but we're working on that. This summer we had a huge campaign down here about the latest Incredible Hulk movie that came out where one of the main characters was an avid cigar smoker. And the movie that was the same movie that was made 3 years before, that character didn't smoke. So we came out and blasted them, and we were, you know, we were made fun of a little bit by all the comic book people, but I told them that's okay, there's no such thing as bad press. But this was a little blurb that was written on Defamer, which is a blog online. And then this other picture is some of my groups in Iowa doing local events. So who has the power to make the change? Where are we pushing all of this? Essentially, I'm at the bottom there of grassroots organizing, advocacy, media, working with our coalition, and we're trying to engage in this one voice of supporting our four solutions and really pushing this conglomerate that is the Motion Picture Association of America to make the change. This is the challenge of this campaign. And, you know, Stan can add into this a little bit later, but Jack Valenti for the longest time was the president of the Motion Picture Association, and the way that Jack Valenti did it was, no one touches my studios, I'm the person, I'm the brick wall, you can't move there. Well, Jack Valenti stepped down, or passed away. Did he ever step down or just pass away? And Dan Glickman came into place, and there was kind of this moment, I think, of, okay, we've got some fresh blood in here, let's tackle and pounce and see what we can do. And Dan Glickman's way of running the MPA is the exact opposite of Jack Valenti. Dan Glickman says, what am I to do? I can't get them to agree. It's not my problem. So that changed the whole emphasis of this campaign in that while we still target the Motion Picture Association, we're also really individually targeting these six biggest media companies that make up that sit around the table of the MPA. So that's kind of a challenge I'll talk about in the next slide. But so what we really need is basically three of those groups to agree on it, and then they'll force the other three. And that's a challenge because you know, no one wants to go alone on this, and they all need to agree. So that's where we're at, and I'm going to talk a little bit. Who supports it? National organizations. We just keep getting more large national organizations. I didn't bring the list of all of the small local organizations who are bringing this on, but I mean, there's really not anybody left after all of the evidence that's come out that doesn't support it, except ACS, unfortunately. So some of the challenges and successes. First, on a policy level, we've had some really good successes with anti-smoking PSAs. The Los Angeles or the state of California brokered a deal with four studios to show anti-smoking PSAs on youth-rated DVDs with smoking in them. So it's kind of one of these policies where you go, okay, that's kind of what we wanted, but not really. So you have to kind of say thanks, but we don't want youth-rated movies to have smoking, period, and B, we want you to not just show them on DVDs, we want them to be in the theaters. So we've had some of that. We've had the Weinstein Company agree to do anti-smoking PSAs in front of all of their films with smoking. So that's been something, and Time Warner. Certifying no payoffs has been kind of another one of those things where Time Warner and Universal has certified no payoffs by using their own legal language. So they won't take the language we suggested. They had their lawyers concoct language that is making them satisfied, I guess. So that's kind of been pushed. And the other thing that Universal has started doing on some of their movie posters, they've put little disclaimers at the bottom. I don't know if you've seen them. They're very tiny in print that says, this movie contains smoking imagery. But it's only on the movie posters. It's very small. And again, it doesn't affect the rating system. So there's been kind of these little tiny policy changes along the way that are inching us through. You know, Stan and other partners have talked with a lot of the big execs at these studios, and there's the moments of wavering. Well, yeah, we're, you know, thinking about it. We're going this way. The other thing is that the MPAA over a year ago, May of 2007, announced this big announcement, we're taking smoking into consideration. Well, this was what I tell everyone, a non-policy policy. It was an amazing PR effort. They got positive press all over the place about how they were going to take it into account. Well, what research from UCSF showed is that it's actually affected in no way the amount of smoking in youth-rated movies or the ratings. So this was a really good PR stunt, but it did not in any way limit the exposure that kids had to smoking in movies. So challenges of organizing around this issue. This, I think, is important just because any time you're doing an advocacy campaign, I think it's important to know some of the challenges that you might face ahead of time. Number one is that voluntary change is something that the people that I work with have a very difficult time in understanding because they want a bill to connect with an issue. So, well, what law are we trying to pass? Well, this isn't a law. Well, then why are we working with government people? Well, because the government people can pressure the MPA to stand up and do the right thing. So this is a complicated issue in the sense of, well, what does General Electric have to do with movies? There's a lot of difficulty involved in that and trying to get people to understand the connections of how this is going to affect change. And not only that people would be willing to, or companies would be willing to make voluntary changes. I get a lot of pessimism. They'll never do it. Well, they will, and they have, if we pressure them enough, especially pressure them with our pocketbooks. The second is, this is the biggest one, is health education versus policy advocacy. What I've found is being a grassroots organizer in this arena is that people are very comfortable doing health education, going in and handing a pamphlet and saying, here's the issue, and then walking out, and not being able to connect, here's the pamphlet, here's the issue, and here's a letter you can sign and send it, or, you know, let's involve the media in this, or there's a very big disconnect between how to be an advocate and how to be an educator. And I think that's a challenge in our field in general, but it's something that is very necessary to not just walk out on that and to teach people exactly how to engage in advocacy strategies. And then, you know, the biggest issue around the, or not the biggest, but one of the other issues is that a lot of people that I've worked with have a very hard time seeing the new tactics of tobacco companies and how they're really creatively marketing their products to teens, not in the most overtly, you know, here's an ad in front of the school for tobacco. It's here's a character smoking in a scene where people don't necessarily want to buy into that immediately. You really have to go through all of the evidence and all of the data. And I don't know if anybody was at the session yesterday about new ways that they're targeting that tobacco companies are targeting teens. It was fascinating. I just thought, oh, I wish I could get all my my grassroots people in this session, because I think it's going to be a major challenge in tobacco prevention in the coming years, is that they're getting so creative in how they're marketing these products to kids, and people don't necessarily see it all the time. So it's a challenge to talk about that with individuals. So it wouldn't be me if I didn't ask everyone in the room to do something after this presentation today. And the first is that we're really trying to get local and state health departments more involved in this campaign. The best thing about this campaign is it's all done for you. So we have free guidebooks on how to involve in this. I have contacts in, I think, close to 35 different states who are working on this. And we really want to get local health departments actively working on this, whether it be through supporting through an organizational endorsement, doing presentations in their communities, writing letters, all kinds of things. The other thing is that youth organizing, this is a great youth issue because they love it. It involves pop culture. It involves the things that are important to them, you know, movies and movie stars and all these issues. But what I want to do is combine that with the 26,000 adult voices that I work with, because that's a really powerful advocacy strategy, is to have, you know, as we say, the pediatrician, the mom, and the teenager all talking about this together. That would be great media-wise. And then we, in February, I'm not sure if these dates are absolutely correct. Is it 16th through the 20th? But what we do is in February during Oscars time, internationally, we all work together to do the International Week of Action. And that involves groups doing all kinds of different activities. We have a coalition of organizations working on this, and there's all kinds of really cool things, but we try to highlight the issue during Oscars time. We usually will come out with an ad in Variety talking about how many of the Oscar-nominated films showed smoking. We have youth organizing events. We have adult organizing events. This was a great... you can see Walt Disney Studios in the back, and then The Whole World is Watching was an ad that was driving around L.A. that week, which was just, I love the picture. I think it's great. But I really encourage, if this is an issue that you're interested in, this is a great time to team up and link up with other groups who might be doing work in your community, so you don't have to do everything yourself. But this is, it's a really great week to be a part of this issue, and we really try to involve the press in it as well. So, without further ado, here's my contact information. Please feel free to contact me at any point if you're interested in this, as well as going onto the website, and the smokefreemovies.org website is also has more information than you even know what to do with about this issue, and I encourage you all to get involved. Thank you.
We have time for questions. Are there any questions?